I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars, and this week, the connotations of country music. I am sitting in our spare room, and it's warm outside, but I have all the windows closed to preserve the audio quality for which Smith & Sniff is not known.
Yes.
And I'm doubly suffering because I got up this morning and in a fit of enthusiasm, despite the warm weather, I went for a run.
Oh, well then, done you. I've been fighting motivation on that front.
I surprised myself, if I'm honest. Just did a cheeky 5K and it was a sweaty one.
Was it pollen-y?
I got back. Not particularly
pollen-y. Do you have to clear your pollen filter out?
No,
which is a Kenyan nose blow in the back garden where you hold one nostril and you just blast it.
Oh, God. I don't, even if I'm out in parkland and there's no one around, I'm very dubious about doing that these days because I feel like if someone spots you, they'll have a right go at you because of COVID. But so I don't.
What,
I
if you're in the middle of nowhere and you do a Kenyan
nose
blow?
Well, I'm never really in the middle of nowhere because I live in the city, but So the problem I've got today, apart from the fact that I'm now sitting in a really, really hot room in the roof of my house, is I went for a run and then I got home and I realised I'd got less than 15 minutes till I had to be on a call that was just a short call. And it had to be a short call because then I'm talking to you, which is what I'm doing now, obviously.
Yes.
And the shower didn't take. As fans of Seinfeld will know, that episode where George has a shower and it doesn't take and he's still sweaty, you know, and it's
you
a phenomenon, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to close the pores. You've got to go in cold, blanching the lettuce or whatever they call it. Yeah. That just sounds wrong. That's the other way around, isn't it? You know what I mean? You've got to slam
rinsing
the pores
the weasel,
closed.
Yeah,
yeah, you've got to felch the diseasal. So you've got to go in
the shower
cold.
Didn't take, so I'm still sweating from the previous exertion.
That's the worst.
Now I've locked myself in a hot, airless room.
So you've got armpit gravy already.
It's the forehead. I've got a leaky forehead.
I think this is the first podcast I've done this year where I'm in the spare room and it's not really freezing. I've got no shoes on. I've got shorts on. I'm drinking a coffee out of the fridge and the window is ever so slightly ajar. I'm almost feeling Californian. Or Zimbabwean.
And no shoes and a cold coffee, that's definitely...
Is that Cali? Yeah. SoCal spec?
It's a bit SoCal, I suppose.
And,
I don't know.
And I've got two Eurofighters that they've just gone. I was laughing to my wife, how we chuckled, about 10 minutes ago, saying, about to do a podcast, and there's two Eurofighters doing really slow exercise manoeuvres around the house. I mean, not just around our house, obviously, much bigger area.
Oh, they can turn on a six-piece, those planes gone.
Yeah, they're in the front room on full thrust. Yeah, it's all kicking off. No, but, like, they're going round, and, you know, they're doing a slow manoeuvre, but they're obviously having to use quite a lot of kick down on the auto box to keep it in the air. It always fascinates me how they do that, but it was so deafening. So hopefully you won't hear them again, but there's a chance. How do you fly a plane like that? I mean, you've got more than you've got two joysticks. So you've got three. I can't quite remember.
I think you've just
got a handbrake.
Haven't you got? Yeah, they handbrake it a lot, don't they? They do. They like pull on the bar sometimes.
I'm thinking of helicopters. Helicopters have got a handbrake and two joysticks, haven't they?
Oh, helicopters are sort of like they're like those vintage cars where all the controls are outside, and you look at it and you go, "What does all this do? And why are you having to use all of it all the time?" It's busy, isn't it?
It looks
busy being in a helicopter.
But Murdoch made it look so easy. He just got in it with his airbrushed jacket on, and just went and just started flying on it totally on your side while singing sea shanties or something. Yeah. That's what I want to be. I want to be him. Although without the mental illness, ideally.
Yeah. Well, I think he had PTSD, didn't he? That's what had caused people to refer to him as howling mad, which is not particularly sympathetic to a very serious condition. But
yes, he was
still a damn good chopper pilot.
He was,
and,
wasn't he?
Yeah. So I went down to Sussex over the bank holiday weekend last week. Was that last week? Yeah. So we had a long weekend in Sussex.
David Albarn down there?
Damon Albarn had gone down to the coast.
I've got a boat down in Sussex. I write a lot of songs in.
See Damon Albarn taking a few days away. A
couple of instruments.
But we were staying on the coast, and it was delightful. However, a lot of light aircraft to the point where it actually became a bit annoying. I quite often enjoy seeing a light aircraft.
Do you?
I don't know why. Because they're a bit of a novelty. You know, you see a lot of big planes going over where I live, but you don't see a lot of little ones, mainly because of the big ones, I think. But when they're going over all the fucking time, it becomes a bit tiresome, I've discovered.
We get loads of them round here because of the RAF bases and the ex-RAF bases that become pleasure craft stations, also known as small airports. We've said this before, not that long ago. It just sounds like someone's following you around with a trombone. When I'm out in the garden, I just find it really annoying because they're never very fast. It's just someone going, and I don't want that. Don't want to be followed around by a sorry trombone, do I?
That's not even someone following you. That's like an animal's got its head trapped in the blowy bit of a trombone.
Yeah. Oh. It's some sort of like Muppet Show incidental music wherever I walk around. Yeah, it is like that.
Oh, God.
But then you get the helicopter. You sometimes get a helicopter, which is a bit indecisive. We get the old Chinook. The Chinook, I think that's proper tingly spine. Exciting. The hairs on the nape rise. That's exciting. And we do, I've said this before, I'm sure, but we get a lot of older planes coming over from, you know, war planes, classic stuff like Spitfires coming over quite a lot, which is really cool because they're based some of them are based not that far away. And the Lancaster bombers not that far away.
Is that Scrampton? Are they based there?
I think they are. The Red Arrows used to do that. Red Arrows used to come over.
What was that awful noise outside?
Of course, you saw the Red Arrows. And then upside down.
I once went to the British Grand Prix and I was walking along. I was trying to get to where I was supposed to be watching the race from as the Red Arrows did their customary pre-race display. And I overheard a woman describing the Red Arrows as just silly. And I thought, what kind of outlook on life do you have to describe the Red Arrows as just silly? I wanted to stop and go, what is wrong with you?
There's so many things, but not that, aren't they?
I know.
I mean, come
strange.
On.
Strange. Yeah, is there?
Yeah, just yeah,
there's
skill, silly.
There's skill chaps. There's skill. There's. You get quite a rich variety of
craft.
Airplanes,
yes,
airplanes, which we did. A Chinook went sort of near our house a few weeks ago because we're not a million miles from RAF Northolt in North London, and that gets some of the odd interesting military thing. And there was a Chinook which I presume is on its way there, but God, you can hear them from a while away, can't you?
Yeah, you can. It's that double beat. I think it's the airborne equivalent of a double bass drum. On a drum kit, you've got the double pedal, haven't you? So it's just that little bit more intricate, a little bit more aggressive in places.
I think when you're expecting some live music and you see the kit already set up and it's got the double bass drum, a part of me goes, it's going to be a drum solo, isn't there?
Do you fear the solo of the drums?
It depends.
I like it.
I'd rather the whole band played. I think it's probably a more pleasant sound. I mean, you know, it depends on the drum solo. It depends also on the length of it.
It should be capped at a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shouldn't it?
I mean, maybe if the rhythm section ombudsman could impose that as a rule. No more than a minute, please.
Yeah.
And then everyone else just joins back in. Or everyone stops.
Yeah, it. Yeah.
If
there's
in a band situation, no one really should be getting more than a minute of solo.
How do you feel about scatting? In a band, I think it's called scatting. You know where, and I don't mean... I don't mean pooing. I mean following the... George Benson does it. I messaged you this morning. George Benson, he was the king of sort of scatting along to his guitar, which again sounds awful, but I mean this in the original sense. Singing along and harmonising with his own guitar. I think George Benson's still alive. He is a dude.
Yeah.
Benson knows what he's doing. Great guitarist, good singer, can scat.
And also, I seem to remember from the 80s, he had a bed shop as well.
Oh, come on. I nearly fell for that then. He didn't really.
There was adverts on the telly, yeah, Benson's for Beds.
Yeah,
George,
but like,
Benson's for Beds.
It wasn't George Benson's bed.
It's a double divan.
I'm going to scat you to sleep.
Yeah. He just follows you around the shop.
Like, all right, I'll buy the more expensive mattress. Can you just piss off, George? Stop harmonising right behind me. I'm trying to put my secret PIN number in. Get off.
No, you put me off now. Wrong number in.
I remember one of my kids did that once. I was at a cash point and covering the pin. Mm. And my daughter was much shorter, much smaller. And she just looked and just went, 6241. And I just went, brilliant. There's a trip to the bank tomorrow. What an absolute swine flute.
Kids say the funniest security compromising things.
Don't they? Oh, I know what I was going to talk to you about. I thought we should talk about some real cars this week on the podcast. I don't know, controversial, but... yeah, well, we
best
sort
of... Best of luck with this one.
I think because of my airport debacle, we probably got a little bit sidetracked by the fact that Ford released the F-150 Lightning the other week. And fully electric pickup. And I've got to say, I'm loving it. The thing about pickups is I've started listening to a bit more country music.
Have you?
Yeah, because I quite like the storytelling and it's quite warm.
I like the storytelling.
I like that, and I don't know if it's an age thing or whether it's I'm just being a bit more embracing of music that I otherwise shunned.
No, it's the same that rap music. Yeah. I like the fact that it tells stories. Some rap music tells stories.
Yeah.
There's much less repetition, is more like prose in a way, but very artfully constructed prose in that it's it sort of keeps moving in one direction rather than a trad song might repeat the same sentiment. And I love that.
Yeah, so...
And you're right, country music as well. It's just telling stories, isn't it, a lot of it? A good
story. Yeah, and it's quite relaxing. And so I guess the thing is, with my country head on, there's often references to pickup trucks and agricultural machinery, which is great. And I find myself going, oh, yeah, this is what pickup trucks are all about. It's this. Maybe I do want a pickup truck. But then I realise the reality of a pickup truck where we live in this part of the world, I think, is almost pointless. So I'm constantly fighting, you know, the country person singing in my ear versus the real person going, "Oh, Johnny, shut up!" Like you're either gonna have a Ford Ranger with too much chrome on it and just look a bit silly.
Yeah.
Or you're going to buy what? You're going to buy a Dodge Ram or something ridiculous that takes up two lanes of the motorway and you never, ever put anything in the back of it. It's just full of water and leaves. And you just go, why didn't I just buy a big estate or something like that? However, I come back to the fact that I think what they've done with the F-150 Lightning, as you know, best-selling vehicle in the States and pretty much has been for decades.
Yeah.
The fact that they've kept the look, they've almost kept the body, I think, the same, the aluminium body. And they've got that full, have you seen the full lift up bonnet that has nothing but storage in? I mean, it's creepy, but in an impressive way. It's just a huge, like, basking shark's mouth. It just opens and you can put anything you want in here.
Oh God, sorry, my pickup truck is ingesting krill again. I do apologize, but it's impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, and I really like it.
I saw someone online saying, well, if there's nothing in there but a void, they've turned into a boot, why not just make the front lower and smoother and therefore more aerodynamic, and that would lead to greater efficiency. And I think the reason is that there's only so far they can push it. They're having to play softly, softly, catchy monkey here in a very traditional market to try and persuade people to go electric. If they made it look madly futuristic, unless they went the full Tesla bullshit truck, whatever it's called, that will never happen in that form. But, you know, it got a lot of headlines for looking so crazily futuristic, and fair enough. Mm-hmm. But Ford can't risk doing that and say this is a production car. It'll scare too many people off. It needs to still look like a motherfucking pickup truck.
Of course it does. It's same truck, different flavour. You know, like,
yeah, so it's going to have a big, boxy, slightly aggressive front end. But then what can we do with that, since we don't need to stick a motor in there in the internal combustion sense? And it's got this huge boot thing there, which is powered as well, isn't it? That front bit, I noticed, is powered. So it opens and closes electrically.
So it's a bit like a ferry, like a car ferry.
Well, what it reminded me of is the way that some freighter aeroplanes, they open their noses or their mouths.
They do. They do. Or Pac-Man. It's a bit like, if you were to buy a yellow F-150, it would just be like Pac-Man, wouldn't it?
I wonder how quickly the front opens and closes. If it would be possible to just keep pushing the button as you drove along so that your car looks like it's...
What, and drive up behind smart cars and just ingest it? Yeah, you could take a power pill, of course, which would be a fast charge, but Ford, being the masters of marketing, would call it the power up, wouldn't they? Yeah, that could work. I mean, I know the F-150, the Lightning is not... it looks like a conventional truck, and it's priced quite aggressively. And I know there's two different battery sizes. But the Rivian is going to be coming out in the next year as well. So it's going to come... I think the Rivian's going to come out in 2022, which is a more luxurious truck. It's the packaging's probably a little bit more impressive, but... Needless to say, it's going to be an exciting year for rugged-looking trucks that are running on zero tailpipe emissions stuff. I think it's going to be a really interesting change, because the big kind of like rolling coal-style pickup has been the thing that's always been seen as the nemesis of the Tesla driver.
Yeah.
And now we're going to see that not being the case. I mean, with my sort of fantasy country hat on, it could be a literal country hat. It's the same category as drinking liquor neat. I don't drink liquor neat. I don't like whiskey, but I like the idea, because I've been listening to lots of country songs, of possibly just throwing one down the hole neat, you know? Maybe.
Do you sit there, do you do it TV drama style, where you sit there and you just drink a glass of what is actually cold tea just for the look?
I do, and what I do is, if I stare into space, and I put and I'm trying to describe this as best as possible. I put my entire hand over the top of the tumbler, as I'm pondering life, and I may be screwing it left and right onto the top of the counter.
Yeah,
because I'm trying to drink away the stress, because that's what is always portrayed. We know that that doesn't work, although we all do it now and again.
Yeah, but it's not actually very good for you. Do you know what you don't see very much anymore? Is people sitting the wrong way around on chairs.
Or people moonying.
Yes.
Don't see that. It's not a thing anymore. I think people are really offended by it. Whereas back in the days when I was a teenager, it was par for the course, I felt.
Yeah.
Or was it just me and my mates with the only people still mooning?
There's a possible part of that. But no, I know what you mean.
And I think when we became adults, the problem was you get yourself into a little bit more hot water.
Yes.
And if you're not careful, you can show more than you wanted to. So we stopped doing that then.
Yeah, that's definitely. Yes.
Nobody wants to see gristle as well. So
if a little bit of hacky sack pops into view, unacceptable.
No, it's like my favourite name for a fictitious pub, the funnel and the bag. You don't want to necessarily see both. Seeing one without the other is probably more acceptable.
There's something else, as being as we are slightly wistfully nostalgic, something else that doesn't happen anymore is sort of contrived names for pubs.
That was big in the 90s when
it was just uni. Constant. You go, oh, should we pop down the Goose and Desk Fan for a couple of pints? And, then thankfully, because it got a bit tiresome, you go, yeah, okay, the Wasp and Ovaries is open, isn't it? We'll pop down there. It's going, that's too much. Stop it. You're just trying to think of the most wacky name you can, and it's not amusing anymore. So
there
anyway,
was
that's
loads
probably good
of that.
That's gone away.
The Goose
loads
and the Desk Fan, that'd be...
But back to my original point, I felt like in American, and exclusively American, TV shows in the 80s, everybody sat the wrong way round. They'd grab a kitchen chair and they would pivot it round and then they would sit the wrong way round on it so that the back became sort of an armrest.
Yes, and if it was a woman doing it, it could be quite sexy.
Oh, yeah. And then a rare British example of that is the famous picture of Christine Keeler, because she's sitting the wrong way round on a chair, but mainly because I think it's sort of, you know, to cover her.
Is she naked?
She's naked, or at least you're meant to think she is, and that's why she's sitting the wrong way around the chair. She's using the back, solid back of a chair to
hide censor herself.
Modesty. Yeah, but usually it's an American thing.
And yeah,
once you're sitting the wrong way around the chair, your arms are across the back, and you can cradle that cup of whiskey while you go, well, I guess maybe this is it.
She's gone. And, she's left.
Yeah, she's gone.
You're trying to work
just
out
you and me now, Benji.
Back.
And a small dog looks at you with baleful eyes.
Yeah, which you forgot to feed for the last 3 days.
Or
you should
be
too pissed.
Whiskey. Dog shit faced as well.
Yeah, and you're looking at the pickup truck out in the yard, which is upside down, and fully smashed up from the last time you came home and got it a bit wrong.
Just the front of it is just buried in a wooden barn sign. Well, that ain't coming out.
I'd love to live in a country song.
Well, yeah, but what's going to happen to you? Because they're always a bit...
Well, they either start happy and end sad, or start sad and end happy, I think.
Yes. Well, so, that's why they're good stories, because there's an arc.
Of course. We all love an arc. So I don't know. I don't know whether I'm ever going to own a pickup. I think going back to the Lightning and the Rivian type thing, I think people do get a bit, sort of EV evangelists can get quite cross at the fact they're unaerodynamic and therefore unacceptable because they could be more efficient. But as you said rightly, on the other hand, it's about acceptance from the masses. And this is we're trying to turn the oil tanker around a bit.
Well, exactly. I mean, as an example of a sort of potential, I think, sort of resistance from the trad pickup market, there's a friend of ours in the US. Now, he does not live on a ranch. He does have a place in the hills, and it's like that's all the justification that I think a lot of Americans need to go and buy a truck. So,
of course,
but he generally lives in a suburban part of broader Phoenix conurbation in Arizona. But it's Arizona; it's pickup country.
That's right.
And he has or had an F-150. A very nice one, you know, one of those posh crew cab ones.
Lariat, is it a Lariat? Sort
of, yeah,
or
something like that. It was one of the, I mean, sort of, this is like, he probably is 3 years ago he bought it. And so the interior on those now is actually quite nice.
It is. I like them. I think they're well done. Yeah.
So we went to see them and I was driving a Ford Expedition I'd borrowed, which had got that turbo V6 in it that they were, you know, using to replace the V8.
Oh, yeah, the EcoBoost. That's a great motor.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, really strong engine.
Yeah, I love
and
that
nice
engine.
And
we
just
don't
good.
We don't get it in the UK
no,
in anything. It's a real tragedy.
Powerful, quite smooth, quite quiet.
Yeah.
Except for V6. Reasonably economical. Yeah, no, good class act all round. And so I was saying this to him, and I went, is that what's in your F-150? And he went, no, I got one of the last of the V8 ones. And he was going, bear in mind, this mate of ours is, you know, he's not a stupid man. He's a very successful business person. And but he was going, so he's not a rancher and he's not kind of like constantly lumberjacking or anything like that. He just wanted a truck so he could throw shit in the back and go to his cabin in the woods. But
is he Keith but not urban?
Yes. Well, no, he is urban.
Keith rural.
Keith suburban.
Oh, and, very good, very good.
So he said, I just don't trust that new engine. You know, there's so much complexity. It's just if it goes wrong, you know, I think it's going to be hard as a fix.
Wow.
That's a bit like, do you often fix your own truck? I mean, it's like, very much, you know, he's basically just leased a new truck But it's, I think it's part of the fantasy is the sitting in your garage at a weekend in slightly an oily white T-shirt, just wrenching.
Was it part of the country narrative? Because obviously...
Yeah, just wrenching on your track.
Wrenching.
You don't need to wrench on your track. It's under warranty and it hasn't gone wrong in the 3 years you've had it. But this, it is,
you've still got to wipe it down. You've got to wipe it down, Rich. And there'll be a really attractive lady that swings by in a John Deere. And you'll tip your hat at her. She'll tip her hat at you.
Oh, is she wearing a check shirt?
She's wearing a check shirt and it's showing a little bit more than it perhaps should. And she gives you, she winks at you, in fact, while you're rubbing a rag over a brand new car pointlessly. Oh, God, I feel like I need to write a country song now that's sort of, it's warm and it's jolly, but it's also pointless.
What's on that rag, John Westchester? Nothing but water and a little turtle wax.
Yeah, we've had a few problems with this one. She's a beautiful truck, but we've had a few problems.
Maybe you want to come over to the farm and wax my turtle.
No, my wife's left me, and I'm drinking whiskey, so I can't. Yeah. Is that why there's 13 trucks upside down in the yard? Yeah, I've had some problems this last week.
Come in. So. Let me get you a chair. Let me rotate that chair through 180 degrees so it's the wrong way round. Then you can sit on it.
Oh, by the way, I've taken my jeans off.
Anyway, so that's your future life.
It's all of
that's your future life when you have a pickup truck.
/ breakdown, yes. As in nervous rather than truck. But, yeah.
I just pulled up a YouTube clip of the Mega Power Frunk, as it's called, that thing at the boot at the front of the F-150.
The krill ingester.
The Pac-Man boot, which is, we forgot to say, it's called the Mega Power Frunk. Oh, I've just seen the video. It goes up quite quickly.
Yeah.
That's quite good. It goes up quickly enough that it does, you could convincingly make an ar noise. I mean, it doesn't go down. It's bloody massive as well. The boot in there is like,
it's huge. That's why I was so impressed with it.
Bigger than like a Mercedes S-Class boot or something. It's huge.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It's also genuinely useful though. It's one of those things where you go, now in the target kind of market for people who want a utility vehicle, but you know, not necessarily because they, you know, work on a construction site, but just because, like my friend, they have a cabin in the woods that they go away with the kids and they take, you know, stuff to go and do outdoorsy things. The fact that you've got a closed dry storage place as well as the bed out the back that you don't have to cover, so you could stick like kids' bikes in the back.
You've got your motocross bikes and the children's bikes and the quads.
Yeah,
and
well, that's what they've got.
And the hot air balloon and all the other essential weekend break things.
A couple of paragliders in there.
Yeah, I've got a greyhound racing stadium and all the greyhounds so that we can take bets. We can place bets and watch from our porch all the greyhounds racing.
Damn it! Forgot to pack the hovercraft. And so I'll stick the clip of the Mega Power Frunk opening up on the Patreon show notes, but it's quite good. I'm impressed by that.
It's a good job. They've done a good job, and I suppose they've done a more curvaceous EV with the Mac E. So and as a drivetrain, that car is, and as a vehicle to drive, it's really good. The looks are a bit odd in places, but you know, I think they're trying to cover all the bases. But
I'd be interested to know though how the, because they've obviously Ford.
Ford
needs this to work. Ford. Well, it's not though, is it? Because it's Ford.
Okay, Ford. Build Ford tough. Oh yeah.
Ford truck. Hi, my name's Ford truck. They need to get this right because they've obviously sunk a load of money into it.
Yes.
And I'd just be interested to see how it does, because on the one hand, you sort of go, okay, if a kind of intelligent professional suburban man can convince himself that he needs a V8 rather than a turbo V6 for specious reliability and maintenance reasons, then, mm-hmm. you know, the electric side might be. On the other hand, I don't know. That's the sort of, you know, in a slightly sort of snobbish British way, we're going, oh, well, of course, you know, the Americans, they like their pickup trucks a little raw. But I don't know if that's true. Maybe they don't. Maybe lots of people are actually going, do you know what? This looks like it could suit my life quite well because of the extra utility you get with, like, your front boot. And you can do all those tricksy things like you can on that Hyundai Isotonic 5, can't you, where you can power stuff off the truck.
Yeah, it's a mobile power source.
Putting electricity into it.
Which makes it more adventure-friendly.
Yeah, outdoors. If you're outdoorsy and you go camping, first of all, you've got somewhere dry to put your clothes in your front.
Yeah,
trunk,
yeah, you could have a... In fact, Ford have probably already done it. You get one of those tent, like awning-style tents which clips to the side of the truck. And suddenly you make your own... You can make your own proper, like, adventure den. You got your...
Yeah.
You've brought along your Dodgems. You've brought along your Ferris wheel. You brought along your Greyhound Stadium. You brought along your 6 quad bikes and all the other important paraphernalia for camping.
Snooker table.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. 128-foot power boat with 17 fishing rods on the back. Yeah, I'm going to go fishing for barracuda at 78 miles an hour on a lake. Okay, let's do this.
What'll it tow? Hey, mister, what'll it tow? Is always
oh,
a great...
yeah, there's... Well, actually, I was going to bring that up, because do you remember that amazing PR stunt that Folds did in 2019, where the... They got, and I really enjoy it. It's a film on YouTube that Ford did. I thought they pitched it just right. I know it's clearly PR, but I did like it. Where they towed a train, a million-pound freight train, with a Ford, electric Ford F-150, in front of a load of really, really hardcore Ford truck drivers who may or may not have been actors and actresses. They didn't come across as being actors/actresses, but you could tell they were definitely quite shocked at what they'd seen. But anyway, I think
they... Were they so shocked they had to go and pour an enormous measure of neat whiskey and then drink it backwards on a chair?
Yeah, they did actually. One of them had a six thumbs worth of whiskey in a tumbler. And bearing in mind, he just hit his thumb with a mallet the day before he tried to put up.
More drunk than I used to be. Must be the size of my thumb.
Because he'd been putting up his outdoorsy tent, which is basically a circus big top in the middle of the woods. And he'd used a huge mallet and absolutely twatted his thumb.
That's a great country song, though. Mm. Has this glass got smaller as my thumb swelled up? It's a song about drinking whiskey.
Do you know what, though? It's got me thinking. I know we're always on an endless orbit around Matra Ranchos. Regular listeners will know this. We constantly refer to Talbot Matra Ranchos is the car from our childhood, which was sort of before its time and in a strange way achingly cool soft roader. Imagine giving it the sort of electric Ford Lightning type treatment with such a good resto mod, with that opening krill mouth, with all the storage. You'd have all the stuff on the roof. It could be four-wheel drive, but silent. It would just be, like, if I could afford it, damn it, I would commission that in a heartbeat. And while I was there, I'd commission an AMC. Is it an AMC Eagle? The off-road estate car?
Yes. Yeah, which again, and there was a saloon one, wasn't there, which is even more sort of ahead of its time.
Was that called an Eagle or was it a Concorde? There was a AMC Concorde.
I can't remember, so I'm going to cheat.
American and Canadian listeners will know. They'll be shouting at their podcast provider.
I imagine all of our North American listeners have turned off in disgust at our poor...
By the way,
we're
not taking the piss out of Americans per se in this, because you know, I've got... Right, Richard's wife is American, and I've got quite a lot of American goods lying around my house that I've just hosed money at over the years. So don't worry, we're not taking the Michael. But I'm very much like the idea of an AMC Eagle off road, electric, or a Matra Rancho. What a great! I wish people who could afford it would do more interesting builds. Resto mods. There needs to be more people waking up and having those sorts of thoughts rather than going, I know what I'll do, I'll restore an E-type Jag.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'll get a relatively modern 911 and make it look like a bit of an older 911, and that'll be good for me. Yeah. Think harder.
Think harder, please.
I actually saw, not to have a go at Singer, because we do like their stuff because they do it properly, but I actually saw a Singer in real life on the street the other day.
Was it good? Was it good?
Yeah, it looked great. Looks absolutely brilliant. And you can spot them because they just look proper. Some of those sort of resto modded fake retro 911s, they just don't quite look right. And Singers just sort of do because they sweat the details.
Oh, they're a car for life, I would say. If anyone ever has commissioned a Singer, I can imagine that is a car you'd commission, keep, drive, enjoy, / family heirloom, Patek Philippe watch spec, but you actually get to use it.
Yeah, well, that's the only thing. You'd have to get to use it, wouldn't you?
I would have to use it. That's why I really appreciate it when people have a super, hyper, highly exotic car, but they actually put miles on it. You know, Yes, I know it can get stone-chipped, and yes, I know something could happen, but, you know, something can happen in life. Anything can happen in life, can't it? So
wise words.
You go to bed with a headache and never wake up because I've had 17 thumbs of whiskey.
Forgetting that I accidentally shut my thumb in the superpower front of my F-150 Lightning yesterday,
and it retracted swollen and up. Then slammed again and retracted and slammed again.
Yeah, it looks like a beaver's tail now.
Can you please serve me up 3 beaver tails of bourbon? Thank you.
I'd say what else I saw. We've talked about this before, and I know we're both fans of the phenomenon of incongruous older people in high performance cars.
Oh yeah.
And I saw 2 corkers in the space of a few days last week. A woman in her I don't want to be rude, but I'd say late 50s in a Honda Integra Type R.
Oh wow. Okay.
A rare car in itself, but yeah. And it looked stock. It hadn't been messed with. It was your classic championship white. And it was a UK one with the round lights. And it was just an interesting car to see anyway. But I looked at the driver and went, well, that's unexpected. And when you see that, you want to stop them and go, sorry, can we backstory this a little bit just to get... Because do you remember, have you ever driven one of those cars?
Yes, I have, a long time ago. The circular ones, was it the DC5 that came after that? What was the one that was the Japanese grey import that didn't have circular eyes?
Oh, well, because the thing is, do you remember there was an official Integra Type R, wasn't there, which had the round lights, but then sometimes there are grey import ones. And they have the rectangular lights, I think.
I think you're right.
And that's a good way to spot. Although I don't think that's a sort of hard and fast rule. And then, yeah, there was the DC5 after that, which is different shape and looks, I think, a bit more like a Civic.
It's more spaceshipy. I'm not up on my Type R's so well.
Anyway, the one that officially came to Britain just briefly and was always white, or was it? Could you get another colours? Oh, God, I can't remember.
You get a red? I think you could get red.
Or maybe a black. But anyway, it had an absolutely rock-hard ride.
It did.
I seem to remember.
It really did.
Like, proper kind of, there's no give in this sort of ride. And I just thought, the older you get, the more that must be just... annoying.
That's got
hard
to grind,
work.
Isn't
so
it? Yeah.
What I particularly just thought, this lady just looked... I think she was wearing a cardigan as well. She just didn't look like
in
someone
an Integra
who would...
R.
I know.
Wow. I love it, though. I wonder if it's my auntie.
I don't know.
Oh, hang on. I think those jets are going over. Yeah. Those...
Are they in kickdown?
I think they might be in kickdown. Yeah, one of them's trying out a new... Ford Essex V6. They've got to hold it at 5,500 RPM vertically for a stall control function.
But they're a bit like, you know, sort of modern performance cars have all that programming in the gearboxes, and it's like, if one of the things they'll do is if you absolutely mat it, they will change down as many gears as they can.
Yeah, like 3 gears if it's an 8-speed or 10-speed.
They'll drop, yeah. They're in 7th or something on an 8-speed box, they'll just drop it. If they can safely and there's a bit of rev range left, they'll drop it down to 3rd for you. That's what those jets are like, isn't it? They absolutely clog it, and the kickdown is extraordinary.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. And I know quite a lot about aeroplanes, so I know a lot about the engines that they have and the torque converters and the prop shaft that they use. It's very light, but also very strong for warfare and for flying. So,
yeah. For just sort of flying.
Generally. Flying. It has to fly. That's number one criteria.
It's a hard game, the old flying. Hard game. Very stressful. Very stressful on the parts.
Oh, yeah. He's got ball score. Oh, he's got terrible ball score. He's been running it hot. He's been running it really hot with the cooling low. He's been doing those hover swerve avoidance manoeuvres or whatever they call them. Yeah, that's what he's been doing. But of course, the American air bases, they don't use the Ford Essex V6 in their fighter planes. They've got a huge stash of Fox body Mustangs that they've removed the drivetrains from. They much prefer the naturally aspirated 5-litre. So heavier engine, but obviously more power.
Well, yeah, but hang on. If it's from a Fox body, if it's like from real sort of shittest of shit, Fox body, isn't that like a sort of 5-litre V8 that's got to make it 134 horsepower?
It's making 8 more horsepower than a 3-litre V6. So the idea is with these planes, obviously, is we take the heaviest block we possibly can. We don't make a great deal of effort to eke out much power from it, and it has to fly. Okay, off you go, boys. See what you can do. Oh, shit. Okay. It's going to be difficult.
And it's got a 3-speed auto in it.
Of course, it's got a 3-speed auto. I don't know what I'm talking about. Do you think you're ever going to fly? Are you ever going to learn to fly?
I've not ruled it out.
Not like the Foo Fighters song, imagine it.
Yeah, no, not...
not good like, song, though. It's one of my favourites.
Like a Kestrel? No, I don't think that's possible, is it?
Fly like an eagle.
It's one of those things you sort of go, yeah, I could fancy doing that one day, but then I can't sort of imagine that I'd ever get round to it. I don't know. Would you?
No.
No?
No.
Emphatically no.
No, I don't want to enough, and I think you've got to want to enough because of the money and the time involved.
Yeah.
I love watching other people doing it, and like we said before, I like watching people, seeing people very good at what they do, but I'd be quite happy to not fly. I'd rather be a more accomplished drifter or a fisherman. I mean, I haven't.
What, like do your trawler test or something?
No, not trawling. I think trawling's a crude method, really, because, you know, it's just scooping everything and then taking 2% out and then just tipping it all away. I'm not down with that. But no,
are you accusing trawlermen of cheating?
It is a bit cheaty, isn't it? What if you go to a fishing contest at the side of a canal and then someone just gets out this absolutely huge net and just goes, and in 2 minutes' time, they pull onto the bank 17 tons of fleshy fish and they go, right, whichever one is the biggest out of all that, I've won.
That's my one, yeah.
Let's go, right, you've just decimated the stocks of this entire region. Don't worry about it. Some of them will survive. Let's just push them all back and cut the net.
Do you fish? Have you been fishing?
I used to fish. I haven't fished for years, Rich. In fact, my daughter said to me only yesterday, God, Daddy, we should go fishing one day. And I thought, bloody hell, I used to love it. I used to love fishing when I was a lad. We used to do a bit of poaching, bit of legit, a little bit of just simple line. We used to leave night lines up. Yeah, I know.
Night lines.
Yeah, I did. And I'm wondering whether I could get back into it again. I think I could.
We've got some mates who own a fishing facility. You know, one of those places has got a couple of lakes and people come and fish at the weekends. And
they're
on their farm. And we went up there a while ago. They got a little pond with some baby fish in it, a nursery pond maybe it would be, okay, I don't know. And,
yeah.
So we went down there with the kids. My boy and I went and they lent us a rod, and I just put the hook through my finger so many fucking times. It was ridiculous.
Without swearing.
It started to actually get quite annoying. Daddy, what's doing on? Yes, hang on a second. Daddy's just put the hook through his finger again.
I remember I used to practice casting on my grandparents' lawn sometimes when I had my small first rod. that I got from, I think I got my
Fisher
first
Price,
rod
my
from,
first rod.
It was a second-hand rod that I think my dad bought from a lady at work, and it came with a little tackle box. I loved it. And I was practicing my casting, and unfortunately I cast my own hand. I think the hook must have attached to my hand without me knowing, and then I cast quite violently, sort of ripped a bit of flesh off my hand. It's not very nice.
This is why I don't... You know, I have quite a few irrational fears, like the one about birds flying into the side of your head and puncturing your temple with their beak and all that.
That's up there, that one.
One of my irrational fears, which I think is actually quite rational, is that during the casting process of fishing, the hook somehow flicks backwards and gets you in the eye.
The eye is... We'll take no prisoners in that.
That's one of the things that puts me off.
Yeah.
It must happen. I mean, even the eyelid, which in some ways it might be
worse. Oh, the lid, because it's fleshy and wobbly. Oh, you dirty bastard.
Shall we change the subject quite quickly?
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay. The other night I was brushing my teeth, and I've sort of got to the end of opportunities for listening to Iron Maiden songs, watching Iron Maiden songs on YouTube, which has been my thing for about the last 2 years now.
Yes.
I've kind of extinguished all that.
Oh.
So I was just putting some sort of soft rock on just for lulls, really, while I was brushing the teeth. Just 2 or 3 minutes of just some really embarrassing music video. And I know we've talked about it before, Whitesnake, Here I Go Again on My Own, which is, it is a tune. I mean, have you watched the music video recently?
No.
Oh my God, man, it's absolutely fall around laughing. It's so, so embarrassingly 80s. I mean, you can't tell which ones are blokes, you can't tell which ones are women. The fake tan is off the scale. There's some pixie boots, bad boots.
You sent me a link to it, didn't you, the other week?
Well, you sent me
a link and said, this is comical. I think you did. There was some video you sent me and you went, watch this, it's hilarious. And I think I was on a work call at the time. I remember thinking, if I mute myself, could I get away with watching this and would anyone notice?
I decided
against it because that would be bad.
Well, you've got to watch it to the end, and the only reason why you've got to watch it to the end, because if you can still see through the tears of laughter, is that at the end David Coverdale, who I think is wearing a white open shirt but I can't remember for sure, right at the end, the sort of woman that he's having a bit of an argument with and singing about being on his own, sort of wrestles her over the bonnet of a Jag XJ Series 3 on the street. I think it's on the street of New York. Looks like a Manhattan street. Sort of wrestles her over the bonnet and then kisses her. It doesn't look romantic. It looks like, you know, when two really drunk people are trying to get off with one another and it all goes a bit wrong. It's a bit like that. But I thought it was cool that it's a white Jag XJ, and I thought you'd be down with that. So I might take a screen grab of it at the exact moment where he sort of trips over the bonnet of the Jag with the woman trying to be all romantic. But you got to watch it because...
Those US spec Series 3 Jags annoy me, though, because once you've noticed that the headlights are the same size and there's a little chrome filler in the outer lights to cover the gap where in Europe it's a bigger light.
Oh, yeah.
It looks wrong and you can't unnotice it, and it's annoying.
But surely...
I'm amazed. Maybe more Jag owners over there now switch them for the...
They go Euro spec.
Original spec. Yeah, because that was just because that sealed beam law that there was in the US that you had to have sealed beam lights. They just whacked in 4 same size lights and put in a fillet to cover the gap, and it's just strange.
That must be so disappointing for the designers and the engineers.
But imagine being a car designer in the Euro car designer in the sort of from the late mid 70s until the late 80s at least, and you finish the design and you've got the proportions and the detailing just right, and then someone comes in and goes, right, let's do the American spec bumpers and
federal bumpers.
Absolute gash.
It's like,
we've got 2 RSJs from a skyscraper. We're going to whack those on each end, and then those lovely integrated rectangular light units, just 4 circular ones. We'll just stuff them in there, it'll be fine.
and we'll need
some very, very massive like reflectors, like
the ones
the
off the wheels
of
a bicycle.
Child's bike.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
We just glue those to the wings in
silicon.
Any place we feel.
You just silicon the ones on the front wings. No one will know. It's fine. Just get it through.
Also, memo, They want airbags now as well. So, yeah, that lovely, delicate three-spoke wheel. Yeah, don't worry. Look, I've just got a hotel pillow and I'm going to spray it black to give you an idea of what the centre of the wheel's going to look like.
Oh, it's so true. And just staple gun it on. Like you say, just spray it black and staple gun it onto the middle of a delicate three-spoke wheel.
While the designer's in the corner of the studio, nakedly weeping with despair, he turns back around and someone else from the US spec department has gone, yeah, just going to put just a slight a white Wally type tyre on it, just a thin white band and heavily chromed alloys.
Oh, yes, heavily. Of course. Yes, the sort of wet look chrome alloy.
Wet look alloy, yeah. And then you go, well, hang on, where in the US do they like this? Oh, only in the sunniest places. It's basically for Florida and California. So that your car can blind people as it drives down the road.
This one's going to David Coverdale from Whitesnake. And he's gonna understeer his way around Beverly Hills in it. Yeah. Singing about being on his own again.
Open to below his pube line.
Oh, yeah, honestly, his shirt is like an air brake. As soon as he undoes the last button, it's just... who needs a Bugatti air brake when you're under severe braking? You just fully rely on the early ABS and a linen shirt.
No, but if Coverdale was like screeching down Beverly Hills and his brakes failed and he's got the roof down. So he's got the roof down on the SL. Just stand up above the windscreen and his blouson style shirt that's only got one button done up and it's the bottom button instantly arrests the car to a complete halt.
Oh, it would do, wouldn't it? Absolute like 80s soft rock air brake on a car. I mean, what an amazing...
No, the brakes have failed. And the blonde woman in the passenger seat hang on. Goes, oh, my goodness, David, what are we going to do? And he goes, don't worry. Here I go again on my own. Stands up.
That's...
I mean, like the effect for the passenger would be like one of those pilots landing on an aircraft carrier with the arrestor wire.
Oh, yes.
Eyeballs popping out.
So hang on, this is the true definition of the air grab when people refer to like 80s music air grabbing. No, it's Coverdale, only one button done up. Trying to bring a car to a standstill before a catastrophe.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I
mean, he's not. When you think about it, David Coverdale in the 80s, a very high drag man, what with the shirt and the hair.
Oh, if he accidentally fell into a swimming pool at a party, he'd never come out.
Oh my God. Going down.
He'd never come out again. There's so much wet cloth.
Tight-fitting leather trousers, though. Actually quite aero. So he's a contradiction, really. He's very draggy from the waist up, but then super aero from there on downwards. Because also he's probably wearing like snake skin boots. That are
they would be.
They're quite aero because they're pointy. So
yeah, oh, that's true. They're like the front end of third generation Pontiac Firebird boots.
Yeah. Very. That's very overhanging. A lot of front overhang, like a lot of boot in front of where the toes stop.
Like an eagle's
like
beak.
An old Firebird. But
The original air grab is just having a bit of a wobbly moment, a winky bum moment with brake failure going down. Oh, it would be that really hilly place, San Francisco.
Yeah.
And he's doing a little bit of late braking. Brakes have got a bit hot. He's late for breakfast or whatever. And, sort of overcooking it ever so slightly. ABS is not going to help. He's obviously on tyres fit for 120,000 miles, so not a great
obviously,
deal of
yeah.
Not a great deal of grip.
Fitted to the wet look alloys. Yeah.
What I want to know is are the shirts one air brake use only? So if you've done one emergency stop, the shirt's five times bigger than it was. So he turns out a meeting with what looks like a stage drape.
Looks like he's stolen the sail off a yacht, off his own yacht, and wrapped it around himself. You're right, James. Been on the yacht again.
No, driven.
But also the sheer strain on that one solitary done-up button. It's like a crash helmet. Once it's been under pressure, you can't reuse it. You've got to just throw it away for safety reasons. So
maybe Coverdale could actually do official air brake shirts. Only one button. is sewn with steel cable as opposed to cotton. And you know,
titanium.
And that is the one button that will do it all. You get that's your oh shit button.
Oh yeah, I mean you could dangle from a crane from that button.
That's another great 80s music video, wouldn't it? He'd be dangling from a crane.
Just dangling from a single
shirt
button.
By a single shirt button and singing about heartbreak and, I don't know, general disappointment in life. But fully trusting the shirt.
I think I would save that for the inevitable guitar solo that's filmed from a helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
So the helicopter shot sort of circles the guitarist. Hanging from a single shirt button from a crane, but so that they're sort of then their torso is horizontal, so that they can have the guitar across their chest in the accepted way while they go meow.
I'd like to know what Coverdale drives these days. Whether he's still quite 80s rock or whether he's just toned it down a bit.
Well, now we did quite well on the old Sade thing. So what I'm going to say is, if anyone's listening and has ever encountered David Coverdale and his car, please get in touch. And from now on, if you want to get in touch with us, you email us at hello@smithandsniff.com.
Yeah.
That's hello@smithandsniff, all in words, .com.
Yeah. And we haven't set it up yet, but we will, for any possible commercial opportunities, we will set up on that side of things at smithandsniff.com.
It took me ages to think of what the before the at should be, because I was thinking maybe it should be like spot.
Office.
And I was like, well, the spelling of that changes every week. So
spot.
Office, as if we have an office.
I'd love if we had an office.
Said.
One day, maybe
something
we
really
will.
Obtuse that makes us sound quite corporate, like centralpurchasing@smithandsniff.com.
Oh, that would be great.
Well, we can have as many as we want because we have the domain name now, so we could just have a load of cock-arsed email addresses. But for now, it's just hello@smithandsniff.com. And on that note, we should probably bring things gently to a stop to let them cool down. So before we go, I have three things to tell you. They are, one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel called The Late Break Show. Lots of many? What the
lots
fuck
of many
about?
Things.
Many of lots of things on there to watch with your eyes.
Many things.
A review of the new Rimac. Two, I've got various books out. One of them is called A Medium-Sized Book of Boring Car Trivia by Sniff Petrol, available exclusively on Amazon as an ebook or a paperback. And three, if you have kids of a certain age, you've probably watched the cartoon series The Octonauts, which is very good, and you may be familiar with the captain from The Octonauts. He's a polar bear. He has a very heroic, trustworthy voice, but what you might not know is that voice is provided by Michael the Geordie from Alan Partridge.
Really?
Yeah. Simon Greenall, the actor, is Captain Barnacle in Octonauts, but he was also Michael in Alan Partridge. And he's been in loads of other stuff as well. He's a very talented actor.
I think Captain Barnacle is an absolute teat. I'm going to say... And you know why? Because he's just one of these people that has a fully authoritative voice, but beneath that, you realise he's telling everyone to do something that he hasn't thought through yet. Quick, everybody, jump into the Thames. Everybody, jump into the river. Come on, let's go. Chop, chop. We must do this. Why are we doing that? The ice cream
because
van's
I
coming.
Said so in a commanding voice.
Yes, exactly. You haven't thought it through, you clueless stroker. It's an infuriating programme. Luckily, my kids have grown out of it.
It's not infuriating. I think it's brilliant. But I'll tell you who biscuits my tits out of that programme is Peso. Whiny little penguin twat. Honestly, is it? Just fuck off. Put him on the torpedo tube.
We can't go back into this whole wormhole of disliking infant cartoons so much because of them being useless. Although Scrappy Doo was an absolute soapy titwank, and we all know it.
Did I not send you that mega article about the creation of Scrappy Doo by one of the people who was there?
No.
It's fabulous.
He was
a long
nobody
read,
liked
but
him,
it's a,
did they?
No, but it's a brilliant example of, you know, what goes on in you know, behind the scenes on television shows and how, you know, these sort of bizarre decisions get made for various reasons and then can't be stopped. I'll put a link in our Patreon show notes for the people what give us a little bit of money.
Well, to that end, can I say thank you very much to everyone that contributes to Smith and Sniff via Patreon. It's really kind of you and it really helps to justify our existence. with our wives in general. So thank you very much for that. And yes, we will always do these every week, even if one of us is trapped in an airport or in hospital. So don't you worry about that.
Okay. Yeah.
That's my Smith promise. That is the Smith is mission one of statement. Us
suddenly, for no apparent reason, lives in Wyoming and can only sit backwards on chairs drinking whiskey by the beaker full.
By the thumbful.
We'll still muddle through somehow.
We will.
Maybe next week. Who knows? On which note, we will see you then. Thanks ever so much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Screw you, San Diego.